Welcome to day 10 of Christic Raja Yoga, Christ Mind Raja Yoga. Inspired by the section in A Course in Miracles entitled The Altar of God. Awaiter and teacher, guiding voice, speak to us this day. It is important to remember that revelations of any kind are filtered through human vessels, though divine in origin, still project some of their consciousness, the level they are at when they are the scribe and receiving inspired teachings. We have to take into consideration the gradations of consciousness of the writers as they transmit heavenly teachings. Channeling is not a pure and completely 100% accurate process. Anyone who tells you otherwise is foolish. And I mean that in the spirit of kindness. Since A Course in Miracles inspired this course, and we are following its outline, we have to apply that same litmus test to the automatic writing received from Helen Schuckman. We also have to consider that she was an academic and could relate to the intellectual nature of the course, as it is now in its written form. So Jesus is truth, and the voice of the Holy Spirit was filtered through a human brain. The intellectual overtones make A Course in Miracles very abstract at times. In the section, The Altar of God, there are more references to the unreality of the body. In the dawning age of quantum physics, and in light of more recent discoveries regarding the subjective nature of reality as we experience it, meaning we play an important part in the actual experience of something that appears in the physical world through observation of whatever it is, using our observing faculties, I see why Jesus repeatedly talked about the unreality of the body, of our bodies. But it happens an awful lot. I'm not one to criticize. I just merely want to point out that this huge contrast between A Course in Miracles' message about the incarnation and traditional Christianity. A Course in Miracles was never meant to be another gospel or a part of the New Testament, but it is a revelation for our times. But again, it was a course in mind training. The ego, we must remember, makes the body. In quantum reality, we are particles and electrons and the atomic atoms, molecules. We are seemingly frozen in space-time as body sculptures through perception that mimics snapshot photography. Perception through our ahamkaric egos. When we are observed from the infinite perspective, we are not visible to the naked eye. We are a river of flowing energy and light. That's the new science speaking. You need to understand basic quantum physics to get to A Course in Miracles. So in our Christ mind, the reflection of God mind, we recognize that we are one with God mind. Again, it is the individualized separative ego that believes in separation. Everything is a part of one consciousness and radical right perception. One holographic omnipresent consciousness. Everything is a part of one consciousness and radical right perception. One holographic omnipresent consciousness. A Course in Miracles confuses the real relationship between consciousness and what it calls mind, or God mind. Consciousness is not a byproduct of mind, as materialists would say, nor is consciousness a result of the separation. Consciousness, the primal all there is, simply is, always has been, is all-pervading and supersedes all experience. In yogic philosophy, God consciousness is the source of everything, and its center is everywhere. This is basic non-duality. A Course in Miracles, in its abstraction, talks around this basic reality. So then what is there before this split? Consciousness. That consciousness is expanding. Did we seemingly fall into dense bodies? But only in our misperception of the fundamental nature of reality. We observe ourselves as bodies subjectively and take them to be quite real. But we are only bodies for the fraction of a second that we observe one as being outside of us. Now this is a paradox I'm talking about. Several still images, mega millions of them, are flashed up in front of us on the screen world we project from our fractured perception faculty of the ego. The only bodies we have are quantum energetic bodies. The apparent physical bodies are printouts of the ego mind. Sounds confusing, but who are we really? And what is our essence? It is energy. Energy and thought projected first from an infinite center of consciousness. The material world as it appears to us is the furthest out from that center. In yoga we speak of sheaths or veils. The physical body is the furthest sheath from the center, the outer layer of the onion. Only in the realm of separation illusion are we distanced from the center. Center is everywhere and circumference nowhere, said Paramahansa Yogananda. What does this have to do with the altar of God? Altars are in temples. Bodies are temples, or temporary vessels containing, in time, out there. But inside, we are the essence and causal thought, emanating from consciousness at the center. So the temples are holy because they are manifest from the bliss essence, the innermost reality. The body is not a mistake, just a product of forgetfulness. And since we use our bodies as chariots to move our energy, essence, and consciousness around, we need to honor it because everything comes from God essence, God consciousness. We are one with it. Some would say, though, that the body has a mind of its own. Well, it does, in the sense that it is intelligent. It comes from pure intelligence, pure consciousness. Matter, or the matrix of the multiplicity of forms, or expressions of primal original God consciousness, projected or dreamed outward. If that is true, does God have a body? We are the body of God, God through us, living us, is having experiences, because we are one in communion with that one singular consciousness. The apparent duality or separation is a divine drama. Many A Course in Miracles teachers say that God doesn't know about the physical world and use the imagery of Genesis to support that idea, saying that God didn't know where Adam was hiding after he ate the apple. God knows. God is pure gnosis. The Adamic masculine principle was a projection in form, in the multiplicity that was the result of falling out of alignment with the communal oneness state. The Adam principle was not in God in the past tense, but is in the present tense. Is in the present tense. Now, always, is what? Is an altar of God. In the heart of God. In the mind of God. Imagined by God. Dreamed by God. God dreamed the Adamic form. It was part of God that separated that consciousness out of the desire to experience pleasure, to enjoy. And it came out of the split-second decision or misperception that there was something other than God to be experienced. So, yes, I am speaking of pantheism. All is God. All is in God. God is in all things. Radical non-duality is another way of saying it. God wasn't oblivious as to where Adam or Atom, A-T-O-M, was. God was there. God was Adam. God figured out what we in our human nature have been trying to do through science. Split the atom. We weren't the perpetrators of the split atomic experience. God was. God wanted to experience itself in form because that being was trying to see how much fun it could have with its creative imagination. We're not a mistake. Bodies are not mistakes. God is doing this. God gave us Maya. God is in Maya. God allowed the incarnation dream to happen. He, she is not pissed off and writing down all our sins, watching like the police. That being is having a grand old time, but who we are is wholly caught up in God, having the good time through us. God is dancing through us, eating through us, loving through us. We just perceive this as not true. God is the devil, not like in having an evil twin, more like a Siamese twin, that the God separated from itself to create an arena, to create a stage, to create a matrix for it to play in. The misperception that we can experience as hell came from the same exact desire to manifest. So our dreams within the God dream are other dramas that God so graciously gave us the ability to enact. God knows about the split, about the experience of apparent separation, because the God being did it first. And we have created mythologies to blame ourselves for doing what God knew we would do from the beginning. Manifest. We are manifestations of God and manifesting vessels for God. We are the body of God, and in truth, the real altar is the spinal highway, the astral and causal spines. The only descent that really happened was when God decided to see how far out it could manifest. God is still expanding. He didn't rest in some literal seventh day. No. God is activity always, but builds in rest within the expansion of its mind, consciousness, and being. God is always present, always in motion, ever dreaming, ever conscious, ever new bliss. So, the only being talking about a supposed separation is God, because God did it. And in doing it, so who are we? Altars of God. It's not like God has multiple personalities. We were given the space to create personality, to create variation in the ocean, to become waves in the oceanic mind of God consciousness while still being part of that vastness. We are not little, but we are not grandiose. We're just expansive instruments who temporarily are housed in and temporarily appear in what we, in the process of co-creation, have called bodies. So I guess what Jesus was telling Helen Schuckman was God really telling God itself that telling that itself isn't the only multiplicity of forms. Rather, isn't all the separate forms in a divided, cut-off reality appearing only for a time. The cosmic day and night of God, and in the in-breath and out-breath of Brahma, a mere symbol for the formlessness of God, is rather God in motion. God is the director, the actor, the stage manager, the music, the special effects, and the audience all at the same time. How can that be possible? Because God is the always, an infinite being that wanted to see what it would be like to have a finite experience. Do you think God would like to have a finite experience? Or want to appear as your body forever? So am I saying that God created physical death? It wasn't a consequence of manifesting out. For though God's light is infinite and all-pervading, the farther out the creation dream went, God's light became trapped in clay bodies and in sediment and hard rock. Sin did not create the death of the body. The body was created as a temporary device or actor in the divine lila, as Yogananda called it, the divine play, animated by the interplay of forces, light and dark, and admixed, according to Tal Malachi, for a specific learning purpose. Bodies don't just decay, they dissolve. But what is left after the body is gone? Just a skeleton, a marker in time. But wait, no, there are memories. Memories of personal lives. Those are eternal microcosmic gifts of the macrocosmic oceanic mind of God, of which God is aware of, fully conscious of, but at the same time beyond those individual memories. They're all recorded in the Akashic records, for they are energy. And energy cannot be created or destroyed. So why do Hindus believe in Kali, the destroyer goddess, and call Shiva the destroyer too? These are idea energies called archetypes in the sea of God consciousness, instruments for God to remind itself of its function. Both in time and beyond it. I'd say it was for us, but God is us. God is in every cell, every fiber of tissue, every muscle, every heart, every brain. There is no us here and God out there, up there, somewhere far away. We are in God and God is in us. As us, but not as a puppet master pulling its own contrived strings to control itself. It is stillness. Beingness. Willingness. Will in motion. So am I saying there is no separation? I'm only speaking of the split-second unholy instant where we seem to manifest or escape God in motion. God, in the divine play, we suddenly try to become the actor, the dreamer, the only dreamer, the author, and the architect. Delusion is the experience of temporary insanity, or dissociation, as it happens. Because God says for a split second, okay, I allow this form I am in to decide for itself. God withdraws a part of itself, giving us the space to see what it is like to be an aspect of God. Only so we can report back to God what it is like to be separate. Am I inferring that this whole shebang is some kind of experiment or a mistake? No, not at all. Just God trying to experience God, but temporarily, as beings who can in turn love God. The unique aspect of all this is that that is being transmitted is so that love, unconditional, deep, passionate love, can win out. For without love, without devotion, God simply is a nebulous force interacting with different aspects of energy and more nebulous forces. God is both personal and impersonal. That is why Jesus called him Father. So we wouldn't, or God wouldn't, relate to himself as just dancing molecules, atoms, quanta, quarks, electrons, particles, and waves. The building blocks themselves are not dramatic. But to prevent boredom, God incarnates. No, not just out of boredom, but love. Why? Because God is love. Not just a force. That is a miracle. That God is love. God knew being the architect of the matrix would only be meaningful if there was this thing or power that is greater than all other powers he has. So the desire for relationship, reciprocity, intimacy, giving and receiving, for sustaining, nurturing in God's way of caring for itself, him and herself. So is God selfish? Just a realist? Love was his most brilliant manifestation from the center of the always and always has been. It is the most talked about, most written about, most yearned for experience in all religions, literature, and mythologies. The projected need for love. We have the same needs as God. A need for meaning. Beyond that contrived by mechanical thought and mere manipulation of energy that sometimes takes form. The altars of God are not sacrifice, not for sacrifice, but for the cup of love poured out, the lifeblood or giving life force prana. We are the chalices for God's life force or blood circuitry. Here we will rest, and here we will stop to meditate. Om Shanti. Amen.